deserve it. You deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the worship. Oh, we magnify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We testify this day that you're a good God, and that this is the day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. We position ourselves, O God, in your loving kindness and tender mercies, to hear your everlasting word, the word that transforms, renews, rejuvenates, and revives us. Lord, O God, we denounce, reject, and put to naught every work of the enemy, every word of darkness, every presence of the evil one. And we say yes to your eternal word. Father, we embrace the righteousness which is received by faith in Christ Jesus. The presence of your faith and your love. We cleave unto you. And we say, Lord, have your way. Help us, O God, to live life as light in a world that is full of darkness. May we be the manifestation of your glory, the very glory of your very essence. Lord, help us be everything you say we can be. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we give you all praise, Father. All the praise, worship, and adoration belong to you. Thank you, Jesus. You deserve it, Lord. You deserve it. You deserve it. All the glory. You deserve it. All the honor. You deserve it. All our hallelujahs belong to you. You deserve it. Glory, hallelujah. Be ascribed unto you. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for his faithfulness, and we thank God for another day that is granted us, a day to rejoice and be glad. It's always exciting to share the word of God and to worship him in spirit and in truth. I know that you may be at home worshiping the Lord in your home this wonderful day that the Lord has made, and we are here, but by the Spirit we are connected. We have not broken ranks. We are connected by the thread of God's love, and we are established in the goodness of the Lord this day. We exalt him who forever is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and thank God for the worship team for leading us today in our time of worship and adoration. And at this time, I would like to share from the devotional, Journey to the Promised Land. Today is the 3rd of May, and the devotional is captioned, The Harvest Time Cycle. The Harvest Time Cycle. The passage reference is Joel 2, verse 21 through 27. God uses the harvest analogy frequently in Scripture because the people of Israel had an agrarian economy. They were farmers, sowers, and reapers. They understood the principles of harvest in the natural world, so God used this natural knowledge to draw dynamic parallels which they could understand and apply in the spiritual world. Strategies are principles. methods and plans that enable you to reach a certain goal. Strategies for spiritual harvest are revealed in God's word as natural principles of harvest which parallel spiritual truths. God grants you to experience abundance in every area of your life, but many people are still struggling to bring in their financial harvest. God wants you to experience complete and total restoration. God instituted the basic law of personal harvest at the beginning of time. This is the law of sowing and reaping, and as long as the earth remains, this law will be in effect. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The seeds for natural as well as spiritual harvest must be sown during seed time and harvested during harvest time. The key to the whole process is spiritual timing. Applied in the financial realm, this means that when you understand and get plugged into God's cycle of sowing and reaping, you will experience a perpetual financial harvest. Now make this declaration with me. I am getting plugged into God's cycle of sowing and reaping. I will experience a perpetual financial harvest. Amen. I would like to read another devotional, skipping ahead to May the 6th. That's a special day for me. It's the day of my entrance into this world, natural world. It is captioned today, Reaping Abundantly. Amen? Reaping Abundantly. Today we continue meditating on natural principles of harvest and applying them spiritually. You must cultivate the new seed. After a farmer puts seed in the ground, he cultivates it. He waters it, hoes the weeds, and breaks up the ground so it will grow. He guards the seeds and young plants from pest and disease. Secondly, you reap in proportion to the amount sown. Seed produces after its own kind in a natural world. If you plant apple seeds, you will harvest apples. The same is true in the spirit world. If you plant abundantly, you will reap abundantly. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, and that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 in the Amplified Bible version. The principle applies in every area of spiritual life. If you give grudgingly of your time, talents, and finances to the work of God, then your harvest will be small. If you sow generously, you will reap abundantly. There are four levels of productivity in spiritual harvest described in John 15. You can bring forth fruit, John 15, verse 2, more fruit, John 15 and verse 2, much fruit, John 15 and verse 5, and permanent fruit, John 15 and verse 16. Again, four kinds of harvest. Fruit, John chapter 2, 15 and verse 2, more fruit, John 15 and verse 2, much fruit, John 15 verse 5, permanent fruit, John 15, 16. In the realm of finances, God desires that you sow abundantly so you can reap abundantly. Now make this declaration with me. I will sow generously and I will reap fruit, more fruit and much fruit. My fruit will be permanent. Satan will not be able to steal it. Amen. And I'm going to read you one more devotional today. May the 1st, that's a very special date for Mama and I. That was our first day in Canada. It was a Friday, just like May the 1st was a Friday this year. The caption is, "Can you take the blessing? Can you take the blessing?" God is going to have an end time people. You and I are going to have to know how to go past the natural and into the supernatural, because the natural man is always going to fail. If you are to enter into the promised land of supernatural provision God has reserved for you, then you must hold on to the word. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6 through 7 says, "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills." Wow. God has promised to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. Hold to the promise. Do not be swayed. God is going to bring you into a land of brooks, water, fountains, vines, fig trees, and pomegranates, a land where you shall eat without want. Deuteronomy 8, verse 9 through 10, "A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he had given thee." Somebody say amen. Amen. As we enter into this month's devotions on supernatural provision, the Holy Spirit is asking, can you take the blessing? Are you ready to experience supernatural provision? Now make this declaration with me. I am ready to receive the blessing. I'm ready to experience supernatural provision. Hallelujah. Before Mama comes, I had a very interesting experience yesterday. You've heard me tell the story about how God brought me to a place many years ago while I was in San Bernardino, and brought me into this place that was a wilderness, just outright wilderness. And I'm standing in this wilderness, and it was very windy. And I noticed tumbleweeds just floating, you know, been blown. And the Lord said to me in that experience, he said, "Can there be life here?" And I spoke in King James language back to the Lord, "Thou knowest." Because it reminded me, even though there was not a valley of dry bones or anything like that, the question reminded me of that kind of a situation found in Ezekiel 37. And the Lord said, just say, "Let there be life." So I said, "Let there be life." And boom, all around me is a city. I could see the bus coming down. Saw the buildings, everything. And I'm back where I am in San Bernardino, California. Wow, that was a weird thing. A few weeks later, the Lord started telling me to come to Canada.
And I argued and told him why I was not going to come. Why don't you want to go? I said, I don't want to go. Why don't you want to go? It's cold there. There are igloos there. Till today, I've not seen an igloo yet. So I made a deal with the Lord. I said, if you get me a school, because I was heading back to Nigeria for a particular reason. And I said, if you get me a school in Canada, then I'll go. I had 2 weeks. Cut a long story short, within that 2 weeks, this was before the internet and, you know, all of this fast-moving mail. I had applied to a school, 5 schools in Canada. One of them returned my letter with a form. I filled the form, sent it down. They responded, told me how much I was supposed to pay so that they can give me the necessary papers that will give me the capacity to get my visa. It was a form I-20. And I sent my deposit. They responded. Now, even today, you cannot do that within that 2 week period. It was done in less than 2 weeks, and I had days to spare. God was carrying the mail back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Anyway, cut a long story short, I arrived here on May the 1st with Mama of 1981. It was in 85. The Lord had commissioned us to start a work, which was the beginnings of the roots of what is now Glory and Peace Church. And my oldest son was in the back seat. We're driving down this particular street, and this young man says, about 4 years old, this car seat, pointing to an open field, "Daddy, Daddy, Jesus Castle, Jesus Castle." So myself and a dear sister, a woman of God, has gone home to be with the Lord. Sister Esme started looking to see what he was pointing at. It was an open field. There's nothing there. Huh? What's this kid looking at? What is he seeing that we can't see? We went to the Bible study class, finished, took this sister back home. About 2 weeks later, I'm driving down this street and boom, I'm back in that vision, that trance that I had in San Bernardino. And I'm looking, oh my God, this is the place God brought me. I'm looking. Shoo. I am awed by this experience. Next day, of 2 weeks, about a week or two later, I'm coming down same street. And I'm back in that vision again. And now I'm looking and I see the details. And I noticed the apartment that was there, it was called Negev Apartments, Negev Suites. I said, Negev, that's wilderness in Israel. This is the place God brought me to. I could locate the place. So yesterday. I and some pastors in the city drove around the city praying for this city. And the Lord said to me, when you finish, I want you to go back to that place. So I drove down to the place. I parked my vehicle. I came out, walking towards the place. And the place is windy, and I said to myself, this feels too much like the day God brought me here. It is windy. And I'm walking. I look to my left, and what do I see? Tumbleweed. It was right there. I've never seen tumbleweed in Winnipeg. It was right there. So I ran back to my car, grabbed my phone, and I started taking the picture of the tumbleweed blowing. I said, timing. I believe God has particular timings for us. And when I was reading through this morning, the Lord said, I want you to go back and read May the 1st. I want you to read May the 1st. And I'm so awe-stricken by what May the 1st is about, because it's about God bringing you into a new land. And that promise is not just to me, it is to every one of us. Amen? Amen. God has his perfect timing, and he's unveiling something supernatural for every one of us today. Let us take a hold. Can you handle it? Can you receive the blessing? Will you let God be God today in your life? All these years, I did not know that on the next day, May the 2nd, God would direct me to go to that place. That's the second or third time I've gone to that place, but this is the first time I saw the tumbleweed. I went and I took a close shot of it. This was the tumbleweed that I saw in 1980. Do you understand? 1980, God took me from San Bernardino and brought me by the Spirit to Winnipeg. I can show you the place. God is never late. He's always on time. Connect with him today. He's going to speak to us. We are in the throes of an end time experience, and God wants to do something extraordinary in you and with me, every one of us. But one thing we must do today is live our lives solely unto the Lord, because he has a great plan for you and for me. This time Mama is going to come and lead us in our continued time of intercession and prayer, and I'll be back with the word that the Lord has for us for this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, those of you in TV land and internet land, and Glory and Peace Family Church that are at home, and our partners and everyone. Good morning to you and your family.
Amen.
Well, let us pray. Father, we thank you that this is the day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. A day of salvation, peace, love, power, and a sound mind. A day where you have blessed every family. We pray for every family today, or everyone from age 120 plus to zero, those in the seed form, those in the womb, and those that are already on the earth at every age level, every decade of their lives, oh God, that you minister grace to them. Touch them and their household. Touch all our biological family, spiritual family, partners, friends, and our nation and our city. Touch every one of us, that we will know you and continue to love you. We thank you that the gates of hell will not prevail against any one of us. We will come out of this season, everyone intact, everyone praising your holy name. Father, we thank you. We welcome your Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. For the words you speak, they are spirit and life. We welcome you into our heart. We receive you. We live by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let us, we're going to read a scripture. Praise the Lord. Before I'll tell you the scripture, you can start opening it Ecclesiastes chapter 10. There are 20 verses, so you can start opening it and we can read. So when we finish, I'll tell you about our arrival here also. Very brief. All right, let's read. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. That's the perfume or perfumed oil. So doth a little folly him that is reputation for wisdom and honor. A little folly, that's foolishness. You know, when you are known for wisdom and honor and you begin to jest and do little foolish things, after a while, it says the anointing you are carrying is now messed up. That is no longer sweet and full of that wisdom. You're reducing yourself. May you not reduce yourself. May your anointing not be spoiled. May dead flies not be part of your anointing. So acting foolishly is like putting dead flies in the anointing that God has put in your life. May foolishness leave you and your life and your family. In the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. May you be wise, and may your heart be wise, because the right hand of God is the right hand of blessing. May you always be on the righteous side, in the mighty name of Jesus. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. So you just need to open your mouth and we know who you are immediately. Verse 4, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifies great offenses. Say amen. Whoever is your leader, when they are upset about you, do not just start walking away. Hold your peace, and that wrath will be turned off. May you always receive favor from your leader. May your leader not turn against you. In the name of Jesus. Verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeded from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. May your life not be reversed backwards. In the mighty name of Jesus. May you be the one that sits on that horse and ride that horse instead of you walking. You are kings because he is the King of Kings. You will not be a pauper in your spirit, soul, and body. In the mighty name of Jesus. In your family and your finances. You will be the one riding that horses. Mobility will be in your life. In the name of Jesus. Verse 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. May you not be a hedge breaker. When you've been called to a place of honor, don't break yourself out. Stay in that place. When you're called to the place of wisdom, stay in that place. Don't break the hedge. When you break it, the Bible says a serpent will bite you. That means you are going to receive poison one way or the other. May you not receive poison in your mind. May you not receive poison in your heart. May you not receive poison in your spirit. May you not receive poison in your family. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you be free from folly and foolishness. Verse 9, whosoever removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. May every wisdom God has given to you, may you sharpen it. May you not have a dull life, a dull mind, a dull spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever God has invested in you, sharpen it so that it will be profitable to you. Verse 11, I'm already praying. So when I finish, I just say in Jesus' name, amen. So you can join us. or you can be getting coffee or tea to drink. The choice is yours. Verse 11, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. So if you're a tale teller, you like to just talk, and you like to say things, a serpent will bite you. You don't need anybody sending it to you. You don't need anybody provoking it. It will look for you. May poison never find you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Be free from a talkative spirit. Be free from gossip and lies. Be free from wanting to have what other people have. Be free from greediness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Be free from backbiting. If you backbite, serpent will bite you. May you be free from that. In the name of Jesus. The words of, verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. May you have a wise mouth. In the name of Jesus. So you are not swallowed up by problems. Verse 13. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. May you not be part of this. In the name of Jesus, you and your family. Amen. Say big amen. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. May you not be weary. Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. In due course, if you do not faint, you will receive a reward. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you not be a fool that quit in the middle of doing stuff. If God has called you, stay focused. If called you to minister, minister. If called you to support, support. Don't start running all over the place. Stay the course in the name of Jesus, so you will not be in the land of the foolish and be a foolish. You are a wise child of God. Say amen. Verse 16, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. May you be free from a gluttony spirit, desiring the world more than you desire God. May God be your pursuit. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the things of God be number one in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you not just eat anyhow, but eat the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Verse 18, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. May the spirit of slothfulness leave you and your family. May the spirit of slothfulness leave everything that concerns your life. Leave our ministry, leave our church, leave our business, leave our family. In the name of Jesus. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. May God provide enough money to answer all things in your life. In the name of Jesus. Curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. May you be free from curses. May the cursing spirit inside you leave you now. In the mighty name of Jesus. May the abusive spirit inside you leave you now. In the name of Jesus. May you not curse your leader. And if you have done that, may God grant you crop failure. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says don't do this. Not even in your thoughts. So what the things you do in your thoughts, even if, when you don't speak, the Lord is aware of. You say, a bird will come. A bird, like when Jesus got baptized, the dove came down in the form of, like a Holy Spirit, came down in form of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down in form of a dove. May the birds that are spirit, that looks like the spirit, not take your evil words and walk against your life. You need to say a big amen on that. Because sometimes you might not say things. You have done things inside your mind, your thoughts. So the thoughts that you are speaking, we are beyond mysteries. The human beings beyond mysteries. Let me read 20 again. So all of us, we say, in Jesus' name, deliver me. Verse 20, curse not the king. The king that represented any leader, anybody who's your king, who's your ruler. How many people have been cursing their prime minister, their presidents, the people in power, their bishops, their boss? Everybody say, Lord, have crop failure now. We didn't say that's very strong. You better pray for crop failure. So your words will not go against yourself. Curse not the king. No, not in thy thought. Say, Lord, I repent. Amen. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. Say, Lord, I repent. If you have said this rich people, they're always doing all this nonsense. May God help all of us. Because if you curse them, then you have said you will never be rich. Say, Lord, I repent. They belong to God. Let God deal with them. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice. You mean your thought has a voice that is speaking louder than your mouth? May God give us the voice that is of God in our thought, in the name of Jesus. And that which thou hast wings shall tell the matter. It didn't tell you whether it's only the birds. Is it the bird of the air shall carry it, and that which had wings? Well, the angels also have wings, don't they? May God have mercy on us. May angels walk for us, not against us. In the name of Jesus. Bible says, on eagle's wings did God carry Israel through their journey. May God carry us with his own wings. May what we pray come to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus. May we be delivered in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in everything that we do, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, have your way. This is our declaration this morning. If you declared with us, and you read with us, and you prayed with us, in the mighty name of Jesus, so let it be. Say a big amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, before Apostle coming, just briefly, you know, we both came here exactly 39 years ago. We stepped into this nation, May 1st, and we have not changed believing God. We have not changed preaching the gospel. We came here to do mission work, and we have not stopped doing it. God has taken... It was three of us. It was Apostle, myself, and our oldest son. He was in the womb. He was born shortly after that. So we want to give God praise for all our lives. We came with a seed. There was a seed in us. And God has been blessing his work. And from having nothing, we just came with two suitcases. That was it. So everything else you have seen in our lives is by God and God alone. Somebody shout hallelujah. We did not stay in this country by telling lies. We stayed doing everything by God's standard, and God made a way for us. Somebody shout hallelujah. You don't need to lie. You don't need to cheat. God will make a way for you. It was not an easy journey, but God made a way. God opened the doors for us to go to places and minister. We knew a lot of the little towns in Manitoba. Even when we didn't have our papers, we just went, we ministered the grace. We were not doing it by finance. We sponsored ourselves. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. God is a faithful God. When he calls you, he will do what he needs to do. 39 years, We've lived in this land by faith and by his word, and his word has been profitable. God is a good God. Somebody shout hallelujah. And I was thinking about that number 39. Three is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. On the third day, he rose again. I'll tell you, on the third day, God made the earth to begin to bring forth fruit. Oh, we give God praise. Fruitfulness is starting right now. Number 9 is the number of birthing. 9 months, a child that is being carried in the womb, the seed must come alive. And Lord, we thank you that in this 39th year has completed. Now we are into the beginning of the 40th year. May everything God has spoken about what he wants to do come to pass speedily. In the mighty name of Jesus, may your family be blessed. May you see the glory of God. There's going to be a revival in this nation. How God will do it, we don't know, but it's going to be mighty. The work is mighty. The foundation has been great. And it's, we don't understand all of it, but God knows it all. And at the fullness of time, it shall come to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now about coronavirus. Corona will pass. And other viruses might still come, but they will pass. They will not take your life and your family. And those that have been taken and are grieving, and are mourning, may God comfort them. And may they begin to look up for salvation is coming to them and their household. As the word of the Lord come this morning, may you open up your heart and receive him and live by the word. The word works. Walk the word in Jesus' name. Amen, Apostle.
Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. We live in very interesting times. That is so obvious. We live in times that the enemy wants to conform us into his image, into his system. But God says we should not be conformed to this world, but that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds. There's so much in my spirit today that to an extent I wondered what exactly the Lord wanted to say to us. What is it that you really want to communicate? So I will start where he started. I would like to go to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. I'm going to comment briefly. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 5. Daniel comes from a prince, is in a sense a prince, a noble individual. He's been taken from Israel, Judah, and is brought now to Babylon. And the king Nebuchadnezzar has chosen certain ones from this group of people that he saw nobility in, saw greatness in, and was going to groom them, infuse them with a mindset of Babylon so that they become his representatives. And as they are convinced of the systems of the world, they can convince their brothers to be loyal, to be faithful, to be committed to the Babylonian system. And the place he starts out was to begin to change their language, teach them their culture, and strip the Israelites of their culture. And that's how systems work. When people want to colonize a group of people, they colonize them by stripping them of their heritage, their culture, changing their language, changing their religion, changing everything about them to fit in with the systems of the conquering group. And so it was that in Daniel 1:5, the Bible tells us, it says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. In other words, I'm going to give you what I eat and what I drink. I'm going to give you the best of what I've got. And we need to be careful about this, because sometimes we can think that having the best of the world means that I've been blessed. Sometimes it's not a blessing. It says, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. They will have access to the king. They've been educated in the systems of Babylon. They've eaten the food of Babylon, and not just the common people, but what the king's special people eat. Verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel this name of Belshazzar, changed his name. And to Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. So we know these guys as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And that's what we still call them. Nobody knows Belshazzar. But why not? Why is Belshazzar not the name that we know Daniel by? I'll show it to you in a moment. Now, the others were following through. But we don't know Hananiah. We don't know Mishael. We don't know Azariah. We just know Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. If somebody says to you, Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were thrown into the fiery furnace, you say, I rebuke you, devil, that is not true. It's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. What are you talking about? But somebody changed their names. Anyway, that's not where I want to spend my time. Verse 8. But Daniel. Somebody say, but Daniel. But Daniel. Purposed. In his heart. That he will not defile himself. It was purpose. He made a decision. He stuck with that decision. He purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. That's the best cut. But he said, there's defilement in the king's meat. Now with the wine which he drank, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He requested, please, I don't want to eat this stuff. But watch this. Watch this, because this is so God. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. This was the way of escape. There is no temptation that is going to come your way that God has not provided a way of escape. When you stand against that which is wrong, God also provides a way of escape. If he was forced, he could have yielded, but he had purpose in his heart. And because he had purpose in his heart, God was already working favor into the system. So that when he made that request, even though the eunuch, the head of the eunuchs, was putting his head in the platter, he was willing to sacrifice his life to support Daniel's desire. 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who had appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs has set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. 12. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Give us 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Give us just plain food. 13. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. If you see that we're looking worse than them, okay, then force us to eat it. But we're placing our situation here. We don't want you to die now. 10 days. Just check this out. 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. 15. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. 16. Thus Melzer took away the portion of their meat, he took it away, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Where did that start? It started the day that he purposed in his heart that he was not going to cause his life to be defiled by the system of the world. That's when it started. He was committed to that, and the story of Daniel changes lives. Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, what about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Didn't they purpose in their heart? Of course, they purposed in their hearts when they committed themselves in fellowship and say, Daniel, we are partners with you. Whatever it is that you're doing, we're going to do the same thing. We're sticking with you. The power of partnership. Even though we don't know their names in their Hebrew format, but we know the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but these men were sold out to God so that when the enemy said, bow down to the God, the idol that I've erected, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you concerning this matter. Our God is going to save us. And if he doesn't save us, still we're not going to bow down. It's a purpose. Child of God, we today are called to the same. Because the world that you see now has already changed. The world has changed and continues to change. And in this change, you and I have to purpose in our hearts on what we're going to do. You got to make a decisive stand. You got to think and consider. The decisions that I'm going to make, how are they going to affect me? How is it going to affect my future? How is it going to affect other people? Because that's where we are now, child of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The word of God says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." In other words, God is saying to us, there comes a time when there's not going to be any kind of escaping. What time and what season is this? The time and the season leading to the rapture of the church. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians is about the rapture. Actually, the last few verses of chapter 4, let me read the last two verses of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Amen? And then it says, "But of the times." It's a continuation. The break in chapters, that's for us to grasp and understand, you know, so we can find the scripture passage easier. But in the original script, there's no chapter verse breakdown. It's just one. You know, it's like me writing a letter. I don't, you know, or sending an email. I don't say verse 1 and verse 2. Today we break it up in paragraphs, I guess. But in the text, the word of God is saying, concerning the times and seasons that we are in, he says, you know. It is perfectly clear to you. If you have eyes to see, you can see that something is happening in the world right now. Something is happening. And what do we need to do? The Bible says, "But ye," verse 4, "but ye, brethren, are not in darkness." You're not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. He might come like a thief in the night, but that day is not going to overtake you as a thief. You're going to be very aware. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, because the night is a time of sleeping. He says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be what? Sober. Now, that is an interesting word, because when we're talking about being sober, we're talking about being calm, being temperate. We're talking about, you know, our minds not being adulterated and, you know, messed up because, you know, we've got other spirits operating in there. A sober person has a clear mind. Amen? God says, watch and have a clear mind. Don't allow your mind to be crowded with so much that you get confuse. Don't come into this place of confusion. The word is nepho. Don't get there, but be watchful. Verse 7, For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, those who are walking in the light, let us be sober, doing what? Putting on, be sober and put on the breastplate of what? Faith and love. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. What? I thought it was the breastplate of righteousness. Now you just found out the definition of what true righteousness is. It is about faith and love. But wait a minute. Faith and love? Yes. But faith worketh by love. Oh, so righteousness also is about actions. Because faith worketh by love. And therefore, if you have the health, if you have the breastplate of faith and love, then you are going to have righteous actions. That makes sense? So righteousness is, yes, it is a gift, but righteousness is a life lived out. It's a gift that God gives to you to live out. So, but you've got to put it on. How? With a sober mind. What mind? The mind of Christ. Because it's only the mind of Christ that is truly sober. It is a mind that is void of the confusions of this world. It says putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So, faith in this sense becomes believing because you know that God is faithful and that His word will be made manifest. That means then that you do not shy away from the prophetic statement of God. You don't wait and oof, nothing's happening. I go find something else to do. No, faith says it doesn't matter whether it happens or not, whether I see it or don't see it. I am in this till the end. Period. Come with me briefly. We'll come back to verse 8. But come with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. She talks about now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. That's how we understood that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. By faith he obtained witness that he was righteous. He offered a sacrifice, that is action, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. He being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And how did that happen? And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a reward of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being present tense continuous, warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to be saved, to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place, watch this, Noah became an heir of righteousness by faith. How did he become an heir? An heir is an inheritor. The father of faith had not yet been born. His name is Abraham. But by faith, Noah was connecting into something and inheriting something that was going to be happening ahead of him. By faith. By faith, you can connect into the future and pull the future into your now. Is somebody listening? Please hear what God is saying to us. By faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after, receive as an inheritance. Oh, wait a minute. Abraham came to the promised land. Oh, but by faith, he was receiving it. How? He was going into the future of his sons and pulling that which is in the future into the now. What is it that is in the future that you and I can pull into this present time? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, he did that by obedience. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah himself received herself strength. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. Now, the word of God continues and begins to list different people and different experiences and what happened. Let me take you to verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. When he was so weak, his worship was just leaning on top of his staff. The very fact that he stood up, held himself up. God, I'm here for you. I'm still standing. That is your worship. I'm still standing. I'm so weak, but I'm still standing. I'm standing here, God. I'm standing. Watch this. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Decisions. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. What will it take for you to deny the Lord? What will it take for you to become a secret disciple? Hiding yourself. These people logged in and stayed in. He says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him who is invisible. He endured. That's what causes you and I to endure, go through every situation, because we see the invisible. That which is visible is temporal. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab locked in. But watch this. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Listen, if you just deny the Lord, you can go free. If you just take the mark, you can just go free. If you just deny Jesus, you can go free. If you compromise your faith, you can go free. No, no, no. I'd rather die than get your kind of deliverance. I'm going somewhere with this. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, that's broke beyond measure. Afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these having all obtained a good report through faith. And these all having obtained a good report through faith received not the promise. They received not the promise, but they had a good report through faith. They still didn't get the promise. Next verse. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. People have gone through all kinds of experiences because of their relationship with God. And we go through just a few things and we collapse. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to what? He's not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's God's divine purpose, plan, and destiny for us, that we be with him and he be with us. And if this is to be, then the word of God says this. Watch this. Verse 11. Wherefore, because of this now, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Because God wants us to be with him, he says, comfort each other, encourage each other, build each other up. When somebody's struggling, build them up, help them to continue. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them. Ski, I didn't think this would be here in relationship with us being together with God. But watch what the Lord says. He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. He says, know the ones that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Know the ones that are serving you, ministering to you, laboring amongst you, helping to fulfill the mandate of the Lord, those that are admonishing you in the spirit of truth, challenging you to be the best that you can be in the things of God. Those that are standing and going through experiences for your good. He says, take note of them. Know them. He says, and esteem them highly. Is that what he says? And esteem them highly? Huh? Very. If the very is not necessary, because we can just say, and esteem them highly in love. And we can even say, and esteem them in love. So those qualifiers there, very highly, is there very intentionally. He says, esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. And be at peace amongst yourselves. What is this all about? Why is this saying, and be at peace amongst yourselves? Because the word of God is saying here, listen, I want you guys to esteem those that are working very highly. And this should be a trigger point for every one of you to be in there doing everything. It says, but when you're fighting to be the best at doing the right thing, be at peace. All of you, get involved. Because there's a blessing. Amen? There's a blessing. It says, try to outdo each other doing the right thing. But be at peace. It says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace amongst yourself. Now he says, now we exhort you, brethren. After he stated those positive things, now he's going to start out. And he says, we exhort you, brethren, one. One them that are unruly. That's a very interesting word, atactos. Atactos is a governing military word, and it's a civil word at the same time, because the understanding of the Greek when that word atactos is used, is somebody who is not in service. You know, an atactos is somebody who doesn't show up for his job, doesn't show up to work because they are involved in something else, doing something else. They are not in their post. That's that word. It says, want people who are not in their post. Want those who are not standing in the place that they should be standing. They're looking for you. Nobody sees you. says, warn them. This word here is, in the military sense, is a word that describes somebody who has broken rank. They're not keeping rank. Or they have moved out of their position. They may be still part of a team, but they've moved themselves out of a position. So let's say you're watching a dance movement, or you're watching a military match, and people are marching, and you look at the lines. Everything is straight. The legs are moving at the right pace. You look at it from this angle, everybody, shoulder to shoulder, everything is lined up. Unruly is you're looking at the line, and the line is this way, and there's this soldier over here. When people are going left, he's going right. God says, warn those people who are not marching to the same beat, drum beat. Says, warn them. But comfort the feeble-minded. Those that are weak in their mind, says, go alongside of them and encourage them, comfort them. Go alongside of them. Praise the Lord. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. In other words, if they are there, they are not doing what they should be doing, just be patient with them, work with them, help them become stable. Help them become established. And then it goes on and says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Well, you did this to me, I'm going to do this back to you. He says, get away from that mindset. Now that tells me something, because this is describing the mindset of the end times. Just prior to the rapture, this is going to be happening. There are going to be people who are breaking rank, who are not following through, doing their own thing, rather than following the mandate God has established. There are some that are going to be weak. He says, comfort them, strengthen the weak-minded people, support the weak, be patient towards all men, give people a chance. He says, but don't render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. Stay true with that which is good. It doesn't matter what the other person is doing, just do the right thing. Both amongst yourselves and to all men, just do the right thing. In one of the shortest verses in the Bible, this is not the shortest. The shortest is Jesus wept. But this comes real close. He says, rejoice evermore. Don't stop rejoicing. Isn't it amazing that the two shortest one says, Jesus wept, and the other one says, rejoice evermore. And this is God's way of saying, get to the point. Rejoice evermore. Always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Don't get distracted. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. And in this last segment, as we come here, Paul is using very short sentences. And it is a picture of how focused we should be. This, do 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 this, bang, 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 bang. Despise not prophesying. Now, why is he saying that? Because there are people who are going to say, forget this. God said, God said, God said. I don't know if God said, because if God said, why hasn't it happened yet? Well, we just read from the fifth chapter how they strove for a good report, even though they did not receive the promises. They stuck with the program. Despise not prophesying. Don't change the word of God for whatever reason. It says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If there's any appearance of evil about something, stay away from it. Don't give people the chance to start talking and saying things. Just abstain from all evil. Abstain from all appearance. Not just abstain from all evil. It says abstain from all what? Appearance of evil. Anything that's going to make people start saying things, say abstain. He says, then, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, separate you completely from what? From the world system. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, watch this, God, your whole spirit. That tells me something, that if it's saying your whole spirit, that there can be compartments of my spirit that I don't surrender completely. And God is simply saying, I want you to be able to surrender everything about you to my will and to my purpose for your life. Everything about you, be willing to surrender it all. Be so committed to the things of God. Even though it's going to cost you all kinds of things, the reward of God is greater than temporal rewards that you and I can pursue after. Go for God completely. Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Faithful is he that calleth you. The God who called you, he is faithful. Who also will do it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do what? What is he going to do? Tell you what he's going to do. Go back. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he going to do? He is going to preserve you blameless. That's what he's going to do. God has committed himself to do that. Amen? He's faithful. He's the one who called you, and he will do it. So, the living out of this life of God is not based on my natural capacity. It's based on me allowing God to carry me. Brethren, he says, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. This particular passage, he says, I want you to read it. Let everybody read it to everybody. Let them hear this instruction. Now, he's going to say certain things to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the end times and so forth. But this is what God says to us to do now, as I wrap up, he says, right in the core of the passage, right in the middle of this chapter, in the 14th verse, now we exhort you, brethren, one, them that are unruly. Warn them. Why do you warn? Because there's a danger. There's a danger in not being in order. It says also, comfort the feeble-minded. Why is this important? Because there are going to be people around us that are feeble, weak in their minds. He says, comfort them. Go alongside of them. Help them. Support the weak. There are going to be weak people. He says, support them. And finally, be patient toward all men. Be patient. Why are you patient? Because you believe in God. A God can reach the unreached. You know, in our determination to choose to do righteous things, just like Daniel, purpose in his heart, God brings help. You may have not heard this before, but hear this. You know, there's an Antichrist spirit that is in the world, and it's been in the world for millennia. But there's a combination that is coming about. But this is also true, that the Antichrist will not have full control of the world. Let me say that again. The Antichrist will not have full control of the entire globe. And the reason he will not is because there are people who stand for righteousness, who do not give up their faith for a livable lie, who stand and are rugged and say, no! That's not going to happen here. If you want it to happen over there, it can happen over there, but over here, it's not happening. There is going to be a people that resist the devil, resist the forces of darkness, because not only because they are spiritually connected to God, but Lord, empowering them, stand and resist everything that is of the devil. That capacity to be able to resist the devil and to resist the spirit of the Antichrist does not just come about. It doesn't just come about overnight. It comes about because you purpose in your heart. No. That's what I want to say to every believer. Hear me loud and clear. It's not everything that the world system says you should do that you do. You got to come to a place in your faith walk where you begin to build up the inner strength of God to resist everything that is not of God and to say yes to God. to align yourself, not as one who is unruly, but one who is in order concerning God, and say, that's not what God says I should do. That's not what I'm going to do. Capish? You start that now. It doesn't just happen. You start that now. You exercise your walk of faith now. You know what? We've been so weak that we've allowed the enemy to keep on moving us from place to place, doing different things, and we've not learned how to resist and say, no, that does not fit the purposes of the kingdom of God over my life. We have steadily been moved into a place of conformity. In our sporting life, in our employment life, in our business life, merchandise. You know, when I came to this country many years ago, Sundays was not a day for shopping. We didn't do play games on Sundays. It was understood that was a separate day. That day was taken, and we said amen to it. So every Dick and Harry decides that on Sunday, when your child and you should be in church, that's the day they're going to be doing their soccer matches, championship match. What happened to Friday or Saturday or whatever the other day? I didn't decide some other day. No, it's got to be the day that people are going to be worshiping God. Even our banks open on Sundays now. Malls are open Sunday. Everything is open Sunday. And you say, Pastor, you that's the way it is. I know that's the way it is. But what if there were men and women that said, you know, we're going to have a day of rest. And that day of rest is this day. It's always been that way. We are not going to let that happen. The monetary system, we've been steadily moved one step after the other. And we've come to the stage now, right now, where cash is no longer acceptable. I understand the reason. It's because of COVID-19. But guess where we're going? We're going to get to a cashless society. Things are being moved, and we are sitting down there, and we are watching it move. Until one day, somebody's going to say, credit cards are not acceptable anymore. And why not? Because we're not sure if it is your credit card. You need to have a mark. When are you and I, as believers, going to say, no? But don't tell me the Antichrist is going to take over the whole world, because the Bible doesn't say that. He only takes over the places where he conquered, where the mindset is already lined up. And all I'm saying to you as we wrap up right now is this. Be careful what decisions you make of things that you allow. That's why sons and daughters of God need to stand up. We don't even vote for believers. We don't find out what people believe in when they are running for our political positions, our trustees in our schools. We don't check them out, find out whether they believe the same things we believe, or agree with the things of God. And then when they go there and they decide they're going to give your child a book that teaches them all kinds of immorality, we start complaining after the fact. No, you start right at the beginning. What are they doing in the school system? That's why the church needs to be proactive. We need to get on top of things and be able to resist the devil spiritually and naturally. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We don't pass this thing that God has given to us to the devil and to the cohorts of darkness. You know, the Bible says in the book of Daniel that there are evil spirits, demonic spirits, that are going to join themselves and mix themselves with the sons of men. There are foul spirits that are operating in the world. And if the devil shows up in human flesh, or as a spirit, it is your responsibility and my responsibility to say no. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We are not going to allow you to have any souls. We are not going to allow you, devil, to take anybody from my family, from their family, from any family. We stand for God. Take a stand. Have a backbone. Stand for something that you know is true. And don't throw up your hands and say, the battle is lost. The battle is not lost. The devil does not have control. God does. And we are not going to pass it over to the devil. Amen? Rise with me wherever you are. Lord, we are the children of the day and the children of light. Therefore, we are not going to be asleep as those that operate in darkness. We are awakened from our slumber, and we are not slothful. We are sober. And today, Lord God Almighty, we ask, O God, for a spiritual infusion from above, that we as the people of God will be a powerful force that resists the devil and his systems. Say no to satanic agendas, because we have a love for the people that you paid the price for, because we've been called to comfort the feeble-minded, to encourage, to strengthen the weak, to be at peace with people, and to be a people that are not unruly. Lord, help us to stand for righteousness. The word says in Psalm 94, who will stand for me against the wicked onslaught of darkness? May we be, O God, men and women that stand and say, righteousness, the glory of God, shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Give us the kind of mind that will help us see men and women come to salvation. As the devil will defeat some, but Lord, O God, you declare unto us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we say yes to that word. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You know, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can make that decision right now. You can say, Lord God Almighty, come into my heart. Save me. Help me to be established in your love, now and always. Amen. If you have moved away from your rightful place in God, you can come to the Lord right now and say, God, I moved out of my place. Well, like the prodigal, I come back to my rightful place. I align myself with your truth. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, the only thing that the enemy can use really to defeat you ultimately is for you to embrace shame when you have made a mistake, when you've stepped into error. If you allow shame, you will never join yourself with the Lord and His people. At this time in your life, this time in my life, this season, we all need to draw close to God, dust ourselves off of all the grime and dust and whatever else that we've found ourselves in, and just come together as God's people, strong and whole. If you're weak today, God's strength is available to you. You can call your brother and say, you know what, I'm struggling right now. And somebody will pray with you. Let God be God in your life and in mine. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And finally, at this time, we're going to honor God with our givings. The information is on the screen. You can do your aid transfer. You can use the donate button. You can bring it right here to the house of the Lord. But whichever way you do it, be faithful. Be faithful in your giving today, and may God honor you with His goodness. Now, at this time, I'm going to call Mama to please come and help us with our time of communion together. And as we share in communion together, may this be a point of reference, a point of contact for you and I to log in together in the love of God. Amen.
Get your communion elements ready. If you're at home and you're watching, just get unleavened bread and your juice. And we're going to partake together. Just trying to open mine quickly. Well, as you get this, Bible said the same night Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, He broke it, He blessed it, and He called it His body. And He took wine, and He blessed it, and He called it His blood. But as you take this, may every strength that you are lacking in your body come back to your body. May every sickness and disease leave your body. May you have the supernatural strength of God living inside you, the power inside you that kills all bacteria, that kills all diseases. So as you take this today, when the enemy see you, may they pass over you. Every destructive spirit pass over you. In the mighty name of Jesus, take of the bread and eat. Take of the cup. It's called the cup of blessing. As you drink, may the blessing of the Lord that makes you rich and add no sorrow to your life enter you now in Jesus' name. Now we declare everyone that hears the sound of my voice be healed, be restored, be made whole. Your spirit, soul, and body, and your family, and your finance, in Jesus' mighty name. May you walk with God all the days of your life. Like Enoch walked, may you walk with God. May God become your number one priority, and every other thing you need be added unto your life. In Jesus' mighty name we declare so. Amen. May God bless your tithe and your offering. And may your seed that you have sown, may you receive a hundredfold return. Just like Isaac did. In the year there was famine, he sowed and received a hundredfold. May hundredfold return come back to you. Whatever you give, may God give back to you. In Jesus' mighty name we declare so. Amen. God bless you. Shalom, shalom. See you tonight. Bless you.